Pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Thursday morning here. June 6th, 2019, D-Day. I was just thinking, pondering a little bit here as we're doing a little bit of a discussion as I came just before the show and thinking about some stuff I was looking at before I came down here this morning. I wonder how many American high school students today could tell you what D-Day was about. I really wonder if they could. You know, it was a wise man trying to, whether it was Santayana, I can't remember who it was, who said that those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. And I remember as a young guy, I was born in 1952. The war ended, 1945, 7 years after the war ended. And all the, as Michael Savage would say, all the Eddies came home from across the sea, led us into the most unbelievable time of prosperity we could ever imagine. I think back to 1960, which, think about, that's 15 years after the war ended. I can remember so vividly going to, we had parades back then. We had a parade to celebrate my little town. We had a parade to celebrate D-Day. And I remember what now, as I look at it, they seem like old guys at that time, right? But we're talking about guys who were probably 40 years old who'd fought in the war and were marching down the parade and shooting a six-gun salute at the cemetery and all that. And man, to think how long that was, ago that was, and how many men took those World War II soldiers with them to the grave. And wonder if today, even in America, if we could raise up such a man, such men to do what those guys did. So I want to open up just kind of a reminder. Jared, the first thing on the screen, I sent you a bunch of stuff, Jared. The first one says D-Day. It's a History Channel, Jared. So Dave lived, those guys stormed up those beach, up those hills into sheer death. I opened up those troop transports and dropped those things, and those men had to run out through that water and, what an unbelievable time. And just in honor of my dad's generation. My dad wasn't at D-Day. My dad wasn't involved in it. But what an impactful time that was in American history. And just kind of as a reminder here this morning, as Abraham Lincoln, these honored dead shall not have died in vain. I just want to read what I have on the screen. And then Jared has a little about 2 minute video right below this that I want to play. Let me read that first, Jared. Because the kids don't know it. I promise you, the kids don't know it. During World War II, which was 1939 and 1945. This is the History Channel. The Battle of Normandy, which lasted from June 1944 to August 1944, it was a whole year. Two months, resulted in the Allied liberation of Western Europe from Nazi Germany's corrupt control. Codenamed Operation Overlord, the battle began on June 6th, today, 1944, also known as D-Day, when some 156,000 American, British, and Canadian, that's a bunch, isn't it? 156,000 forces landed on five beaches along a 50-mile stretch of the heavily fortified coast of France's Normandy region. The invasion was one of the largest amphibious military assaults in history. Required extensive planning. Prior to D-Day, the Allies conducted a large-scale deception campaign designed to mislead the Germans about the intended invasion target. By late August 1944, all of northern France had been liberated. By the following spring, the Allies had defeated the Germans. The Normandy landings had been called the beginning of the end of the war in Europe. So, Jerry, if you just scroll down, think about those Eddies. Those young boys who laid it all on the line. This is just a couple minutes long. Let's look at this here this morning. Just in honor of them.
in the summer of 1944, GI equipment was about to undergo the most extensive field test in history. The invasion of Europe would be the largest ever. 150,000 troops prepared for the assault.
Wow.
Men readied their equipment. Clean socks, underwear, canteen, and ammo. The majority of soldiers carried the 30 caliber M1 semi-automatic rifle, their best friend. June 6, 1944, D-Day. That morning, thousands of troops climbed into landing craft.
My number one gunner, Wofford Williams, was sitting next to me. Williams had the tripod, 51 pounds. Augury had a 33.5-pound machine gun. McCandless and all the rest of the squad had two boxes of machine gun ammo, which weighed 20 pounds apiece, which is 40 pounds. Plus, in our assault jackets, we had 60 pounds, and that was including our extra bandoliers of ammunition and rifles and hand grenades and raincoats and rations and first aid stuff and a gas mask and all that stuff that we were carrying in, over 100 pounds.
For this Amazing. Special mission, the first wave of soldiers carried more gear than usual. The plan was to equip men with enough supplies to last unassisted for 3 days. But when the landing craft hit the beaches and soldiers jumped into the water, the gear intended to preserve life actually cost some of the men theirs. Drowned by the sheer weight of their own equipment.
Finally, I got off, went into the water, and everybody just stayed in the water because they were shooting at us. I still had my assault jacket on. Most everybody else had dumped there.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. How many years is that? How many years is 44? That'd be 46, and 20 would be 66, 65 years. Is that right? Did I do the math right? 65 years ago today?
75.
How many?
75.
75. Thank you, Kevin. I used to be good in math. 75 years ago today. Think where the world has gone in those 75 years. Jared, I sent you another link on D-Day, and then I want to play this and want to move on. Yesterday, President Trump, it says that yesterday President Trump read the prayer that President Franklin Roosevelt read to the nation. I want you to think about, as you listen to this prayer, I want you to think about what would happen today if President Trump had written and read this prayer, how far America has fallen. You can't say much about Trump as he reads this because it wasn't his words. Okay, Jared. Jared said he might need some time to get this working. But it's a very definite example of how far our nation has fallen. Can you imagine? Well, you have to hear what you have to hear it. Can you imagine the uproar we would hear today if an American president, especially Donald Trump, were to pray the prayer that he reads in this video? Go ahead, Jared. It's only about a minute and a half, I think. Jared said he might need some time to get this working. I'll play a commercial in front of course. A very definite example of how far our nation has fallen. Can you imagine? Well, you have to hear what a bit of feedback in my ear. Can you imagine the uproar we would hear today if an American president, especially Donald Trump, were to Oh, my goodness. Get off of there. I'm sorry, Jared. I just clicked it and played it on mine. Got this wonderful commercial about Trulicity, whatever that is. I just can't wait to get some of it. Okay, so it's going to be 45 more seconds. Anybody want to comment while Jared's getting this thing ready to go?
Just a quick question. Does anybody know what the D stood for on D-Day?
I thought it was Decision Day, Larry. Am I wrong?
Designated Day.
Designated day. I did not. I thought it was decision day. Can you imagine the decision? Can you imagine the sleepless nights that it was General Eisenhower, but all those people involved You know, when those amphibious things dropped their gates, man, those boys ran into hell, man.
Yeah, they were called the in Louisiana. There were over 20,000 of them made.
Unbelievable. Here's President Trump reading the prayer of President Roosevelt. Go ahead, Jared. Thanks for getting that up there, man.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. They will need thy blessings, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteous of our cause, our sons will triumph. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, the heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee. Faith in our sons, faith in each other, and faith in our united crusade. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Okay, Jared. That's unbelievable. What in the name of whatsoever has happened to our nation? All right, he said we have to fight to restore or defend our religion, he said. Almighty God. Can you even 75 years later, what has happened to our nation? I noticed in the comment section, Rob Pugh just said some of these guys were 17 years old. Could we get a 17-year-old off of his smartphone long enough to be able to do that today? Would those guys even go on a mission like this without their smartphones? So this is the kind of stuff that drives me, that we need to be reminded of. Again, as Abraham Lincoln said at Gettysburg, that these honored dead shall not have died in vain. Do we really believe that those guys who stormed Normandy Beach, do we really believe that they died so a woman could kill her baby? Do we really believe that they stormed Normandy Beach, bled and died so that a man could have butt sex with another man and call it marriage? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe they stormed Normandy Beach and fought and tried to die to preserve our religion and to see humanism and atheism become the religion of our public schools? Is that really why they died? Is that really what it was about? Are we going to be content? Thus, me. Are we going to be content to sit around and watch 75 years later the things they fought and died for be slowly sucked out of the American society? To me, that's really what we're faced with. And think about my children, my grandchildren, if the Lord tarries. You know, that's an amazing thing to think of right there, isn't it? If there is a rapture, if you believe in a rapture, I'm not here to debate that one way or another today. Do you have any idea what you are sentencing those who are not, who don't know Jesus to? Do you have any idea the wrath that is to come upon them? Does it not move you? Does it not motivate you? The idea, the most selfish idea that we're going to be out here, as I heard a guy say one time, for those who don't believe it, oh, don't worry about it, I'll wave on you on the way up, as if it's something to laugh about. And Jared, if you go to the stuff I sent you today, one more thing. Somebody sent this to me. I just think it's appropriate that we play it. clear down the, let me find where I put it, Jared. Oh, it's Asleep in the Light from Keith Green. I don't know if you guys know Keith Green or not. I remember Keith Green. Died a very young death. Fabulous musician. Talking about the fact that we're asleep in the light. America is asleep in the light. We're not asleep in the dark. Although the darkness is coming, the church is asleep in the light. And I can't remember who sent this to me, but I thank you. Thank you for it. And Jared will get that ready up. It's about 4 minutes. Asleep in the light. Don't have it or what, Jared? Asleep in the light. No, it's a third, fourth thing down on what I sounded. All hands on deck, censorship, not asleep in the light. this powerful song.
Sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Out on the streets. Open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Johnny, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Church just can't fight, cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Come away, come away, come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess, come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess, come away with me, my love.
Okay, Jared, you can cut it off. Asleep in the light. Jesus rose from the dead. Christians can't even get out of bed. Sleep in the light. And the reality of, you know, it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. The reality of what life would be like if there is a snatching away, a removal of the church from the world, a withdrawal of the Holy Spirit. If the devil is giving full reign upon the earth, can you even imagine what that would be like? Yeah, we don't tell anybody. We don't say anything about it. Might lose our job. Somebody might get mad at you. Somebody might call you a name. We're asleep in the light, baby. That's for sure. Anybody want to comment on that? I'll get off this negative note, but it's so true, man. So true. It's so true. Let me talk about all hands. Hey, we're still coming up here next weekend. Some of you probably, this is Thursday. Some of you be rolling in here next week, Thursday night. Some of you maybe even on Wednesday night. Come on, man. Come and let's have us a grand old time. Numbers are starting to fill up now. People are beginning to register. Thank you for registering so we know how much food we have to have. And again, we ask you to give us $30 because we're buying three meals for you, some donuts, some coffee, different stuff like that. We're putting up a tent. We had to go out and rent a tent. So we have some expenses involved with it. It'll be best $30 you ever spent, promise you. And we have a lot of great activities planned. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I don't want the enemy to be there waiting for us when we do them. But we'll have a good agenda for all of you to hand out. And listen, if you want to come and you don't have the money, I had another offer today for somebody that they'll pay for somebody to come. So if that's you and you can't make it for whatever reason financially, don't let that hold you back. We have scholarships. All hands on deck. It's going to begin. You come in on Thursday. It's going to begin next Friday morning. And it's going to run Friday, Saturday, and you'll be out and ready to go by noon on Sunday. You can head back home. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful time. You can sleep. We have a big tent you can sleep under. Bring your own sleeping apparatus, whatever that would be. You can get hotels. There's a KOA. There's all kinds of things going on. So jump in on that. And then I want to throw this in before I forget. All you out there on the left coast, we're going to be at Tim Tuber's having an event for us on the, wherever it is. There it is. The 21st in Scio, Oregon. I don't even know where the heck that is, but we're going to be there. So contact Tim if you want to be part of that. So I don't know, left coast to west coast. A lot of great stuff going on. Mike and Polly are having the marriage done. What's the name of that thing? Jared, show us on that one. Matrimony Day, God's Way, Washington, D.C. Man, we're up. We're at it, man. We're at it. So there you go, folks. Here's what I want to talk about a little bit about today. I had a miracle occur. I am not banned on Facebook. I told you yesterday that I got banned on Facebook again. I didn't know why. Had no idea why. Well, when they banned me this time, they said you can make an appeal. So I clicked on the thing and made the appeal. And all of a sudden, I was back on Facebook. They didn't send me any notification or tell me. I just accidentally, I was on Facebook and I posted something. I thought, well, that's stupid. I can't post anything. And it went through. So, wow. So,
hey, Coach.
Yes.
At least for this week.
Well, that's where I'm heading, Paul. That's where I'm heading. We are facing some serious, serious censorship issues. Now, one of the things we've started a website that I want all of you to, stupid me, maybe Polly, maybe you can help it. We started a website regarding Equal Justice Tour. Jared, maybe you can find that. Maybe you can pull that up on the screen for us. But, you know, we had no sooner put up on Facebook Equal Justice Tour, and we began to populate that website with stuff about whatever, just populating the website and asking other people to share that website. And it hadn't been populated for 15 or 20 minutes. and already they were blocking some of our stuff. Polly, are you in there, Polly? Can you talk about that a minute? There's the website, folks. We'd like, I sent this to all of you. We'd like for all of you to like this page. We'll get it out to our, it's the webpage is Equal Justice Tour, the call for equal justice. And Polly's been working hard. Tell them what happened, Polly, yesterday when you put some stuff on that. Is she in here? Yes, she's in here.
Yes. Yeah, I just started putting pictures up and benign just posts. And one of the first posts got knocked off. I don't know what happened. I don't know very much about Facebook. So I requested a review and I haven't heard anything. But we've got a lot of stuff up there. So everybody go to the page. Just do a search on Facebook for Equal Justice Tour. It'll take you to the page. Go to Polly Heath. I've got a lot of ads up about that too. So everybody go there, sign up.
We've got to share it and share it and share it and share it. We are fighting the most unbelievable media censorship battle that you can imagine. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, and we're going to get into some other stuff. Jared has done a remarkable job in that he has archived all of our stuff, all of our program stuff on his own website so that it cannot be pulled down or taken away or banned or anything like that. And we're going to have to begin to figure out ways, folks, that we're going to be able to communicate, because Paul said jokingly, well, you know, you're okay for today. That, folks, that is more real than we even understand. In fact, Jared, pull up the link I sent you that says censorship on it. Folks, this is so real. This is so real. See, one of the things they're going to try to do, if Donald Trump, President Trump, if Congress doesn't do something about the banning on Google and YouTube, Donald Trump will not win. Well, I believe he's going to win. But look at this. This is the Gateway Pundit. I go here every day. Great information. Here we go. Google, YouTube to remove thousands of offensive accounts. Now, what is an offensive account? Well, an offensive account is something they determine to be offensive. It's like we saw when we went to Chappaqua. We were offensive. Conservatives are offensive. Do you understand that, friends? That in 2019, the Gateway Pundit was more accurate in reporting top stories than Washington Post. The Gateway Pundit was more accurate in its reporting than Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, and the rest of them combined. They covered the Covington Catholic School Boys media assault, the Jesse Smollett fake hate crime, the Trump-Russian collusion. And Gateway Pundit, I'm telling you, is going to be one of those who is going to be banned from Facebook, from YouTube. We need to look for alternative places to get our message out. And friends, begin also to share as quickly and as often as we can any new websites, relevant websites. Ultimately, what we think is going to have to happen, it's already happened to Alex Jones, is if you're going to want information, you're going to have to go to CoachDaveLive.com. That's where this thing's heading. Somebody want to come in and talk more about this and knows more about it than me? I don't know where Victor is. This is right up Victor's alley. He's sleeping in, I guess, on us this morning. Folks, this is really, really a serious issue. And they're going to try to hit a switch, and we're not going to be connected anymore. Come on in, Mike.
Yeah, we've reached a point where we need to use Facebook. We need to use YouTube, but we need to, if you've got time, you need to go to the White House website and you need to report. When I noticed someone in the chat said that already the Equal Justice Tour posts are being taken off of people's personal pages. They're being taken off. What the White House needs from people who have time to do this and who understand enough to do it is they're collecting data. They're collecting facts that are unrefutable regarding the censorship. And apparently it's at whitehouse.gov. And I have no doubt that Trump, he would be the man on the planet who's going to be the most motivated to do something about this, because I know he has got to know that if he doesn't do something about this before the end of the year, he's not going to win re-election. Everything's on the line for him with respect to this. He knows.
For those of you who don't know, look at the screen right now. These are the notices that we get. When something that whoever doesn't like it, this post goes against our community standards, our. Who's them? Who's our? Who's our? Okay? And so then they come down and they ban you. And if you do it, if you get one they really don't like, boom, they give you a 30-day notice, you're in jail and no opportunity to say anything about it. This is very, very serious. So we're trying to tell you more and more, if you're gonna connect with us, baby, you better do it at CoachDaveLive.com because we're storing everything there and much of this stuff's gonna disappear. Go ahead, Mike. I didn't mean to walk on you there.
No, that's okay. I saw somebody in the chat say it's too late for Trump. And he may be right. This person may be right. It may be too late. He may have waited too long because there's no doubt that the small amount that he won by could be attributed to voices like Alex Jones. Alex Jones was deplatformed, what, about a year ago now or so, yeah. 6 months anyway. He was completely taken off the internet. Everything took him off the internet. And now they're playing it up as if the Sandy Hook thing is the only thing the guy ever said
that's
anything
right. That's right. That's right.
They're trying to hang the Sandy Hook thing around his neck.
So, Jared, do you still have – I'm trying to find John. There you are. Jared, pull that screen up there because pull that article you just had up there, Jared, because I think it's important for people to see one chart that's on that article. Scroll on down, Jared. Look right there, right there. Okay. This is the Facebook influence map 2016, so that we understand who had the greatest influence on the electorate. There you are, Washington Post, New York Times, Huffington Post, CNN. You see those blue circles? Well, down on the right side, you see those who were influencing the right, and what you see now is, boom, they're bombed. They're not able to get on these media platforms anymore. You guys see what's going on? You understand? And then what's even worse, they do what's called shadow banning, where you post something and you assume it's going to everybody and it's not going to everybody. That's what's happening, folks. And because that kind of thing is happening, oh, I got so much I want to share with you. I've talked a lot already. Anybody want to say something? By the way, Mark Trump and Ken Hall, awesome job on Doug Hagman yesterday. Awesome. My God, you made us look good. Did a great job, Mark. Did a great job. Unbelievable.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, Rog.
You know, I used to take this position of, well, it's private business and, you know, we should. I'm totally changing my view on it now that whether it's the government or the people have got to do something on this censorship because it's really cascading over the falls, and it's getting to the point where free speech is absolutely limited.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they need to be held as a utility and regulate. I mean, I just don't know because I hate government coming in to regulate free speech. I don't mind them regulating my electrical bill, but I don't know if I like government regulating free speech, but something must be done because the free market, as far as how we spend our money, does not seem to affect these billionaires.
Well, Roger, we don't realize that CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, Facebook, Google, YouTube, we don't realize that they flipped the House in the last election.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. They flipped the House. Russia, 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 Russia. They tampered with an election and flipped the House. This is serious stuff, folks.
Hey guys, I just want to bring awareness to the fact that wait until somebody on the other side gets smart enough to actually read the Constitution. The First Amendment, you know, like Roger just mentioned, you know, he's changing his mind about personal, you know, private companies being able to censorship and stuff. But the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law. It does not say the states can't make laws abridging the freedom of speech. It doesn't say private companies can't make laws abridging the freedom of speech. The Constitution has already said the military can make laws about the freedom of speech. A member, active duty member of the military does not have freedom of speech in a variety of arenas and areas. And as soon as the left realizes that all of these lower entities have the constitutional right to abridge freedom of speech, we're sunk.
Amen, Larry. So, folks, I want to piggyback on, guys, it's 7:35. Oh, my goodness. I want to piggyback, jump back on where I left off yesterday. Jared, today I think I have it right. Go to the Dizdar trailer because I've tried, I've tried over the last couple of days to make everyone aware of the Black Awakening. Now, this is about, Russ wrote this book about 6 years ago, I think. But this was a trailer to Russ Dizdar's book, The Black Awakening. I'm going to show you that there are more and more demons released. Folks, listen. Our national government has opened the door to the demonic. If you believe in evil spirits in high places, the weapons of our warfare not being carnal, Psalm 2, Jared, go to Psalm 2. Let's get that ready again. So people, again, understand that what's happening is more than political. It's more than political. The Lord tells us right here in the scriptures, we don't understand. Why do the heathen rage? Folks, the heathen are raging like never in American history. The heathen are raging, and the people are imagining a vain, empty thing. Do you see that? Please say that you see that you get that. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. So we see that the kings of the earth, they are the heathen are raging more than ever. Because why? Because we have taken down the barriers that Franklin Delano Roosevelt spoke about when he read that prayer. Those barriers, the protection of Almighty God, has come down. A portal has been opened. And because the portal is open, all types of demonic activity is full speed ahead into the American culture. The heathen are raging. The people are imagining a vain thing. Understand, this is demonic. Jared, play Russ's The Black Awakening. This is about a minute and a half. People have voices in their heads. The U.S. military seeks to weaponize fake energies. This twilight hymn will the darkness burn its black. Then it will all erupt. The fear will fly as the bloodshed begins. Black. Okay, Jared, you can pull that down. Let me show you something. Let me show you a couple things. Folks, I find it amazing that the sleep in the light, I find it amazing that the average Christian doesn't have any problem with cross-dressers in libraries. Local school doesn't have any trouble with a cross-dresser substitute teaching in our schools. There's something seriously wrong. Well, what is it? It's a black awakening. Portals to the demonic are open, and unwitting, unknowing people are being consumed and influenced by this dark, dark side and this dark awakening. I'm going to show you some things today that you can't make it up. Jared, let's go to the first one there. Down's syndrome drag queens. What? Yeah. Yeah. Folks, Bible talks in Romans about being inventors of evil things. Inventors of... Jared, there's a little video at the bottom of this thing. I think. I know there is. I saw it this morning. Inventors of evil things. Down syndrome cross-dressers. Here we go. They're calling them pupils. Guy's teaching it to his kids. He's calling them pupils. Boy, Jared, I don't know why you have such a hard time. I get it up. There it is. Is that it? I don't know. Play it. There it is.
Lights, camera, mayhem.
Drag Syndrome is a collective of artists with Down syndrome who are drag queens, and we have a drag king as well. And it's made up at the moment of Francis, who's Lady Francesca, Otto, who is Aurora Shebang, Danny, who's Gaia Kallas, and our drag king, who is Ruby, who's just embalmed.
Thank you. Justin Bond is action person.
How do you feel when you're on stage?
I feel amazing, incredible. And my friends at college are Mr. Bond and my drag. Everyone always comes to me, oh my God, Justin Bond, can I get a photo? Can I get a photo?
That's enough. Hey folks, this is an inventor of evil things. This is beyond the pale. Jared, open up the view. Talking, it says the view on homos. Now, folks, remember, there's a black awakening. The heathen are raging. Listen to this. This is on ABC News. And listen to the opinion and the applause and the opinionating. Folks, there's been a demonic release into America, into the world. This woman is demon-filled, demon-possessed. Go ahead and play that, Jared. It's about 6 minutes. We're not going to watch all of it.
Hey, welcome back. So Pride Month kicked off on Saturday, and I'm proud to be...
She's on the show by accident. Anybody think Whoopi is on this show by accident? Or is there some other demonic power that's putting her there? She's a fool. Go ahead, Jared.
Held in America later this month on June 26th. And I want to say there have been some really ugly incidents lately all over the place, but people have burned flags outside of gay bars and uptown in Harlem, and people destroyed a poster. You know, here's the deal. And we had a bishop say something that seems so against what Jesus stood for that it was shocking. But this is what I'm going to tell all of our friends. God loves you. Nobody can tell you God doesn't. You're the only person who knows your relationship with God. So you stand proudly. We don't want you to be afraid that people aren't going to get it. It doesn't matter whether they get it. This is about who you are. Be proud of who you are.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of us standing with you. And you know what? And even if other people don't get it, don't get mad at them. Spend a little time with them and help them understand, because a lot has happened in the gay community very quickly. And so people have to catch up, and you have to understand that as well. But just never put your head down. Always be proud of who you are. God does not make mistakes.
Exactly.
Except in this case.
I bet Whoopi has a very, very close relationship with Jesus, don't you? See, folks. We allow the left to tell us what Jesus would do. It happens over and over and over. And you know what happens? Whoopi Goldberg has the exact same position as many men standing in our pulpits in America. Keep going, because it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Let's get old Sonny in here. Let's get her Catholic worldview in here. Go ahead, Jared.
Reading, you know, I was on Twitter this weekend and I read this tweet by Bishop Tobin, who is a Catholic bishop. And he comes out and he says that he wants to remind all Catholics not to support or engage in any pride and participate in any pride parades or anything supporting the LGBTQ community, because it's against Christian values and that it's harmful to children. And I tweeted out that my Catholic children will be attending pride events, as this Catholic will. You know, my faith always taught me, what would Jesus do?
Yes.
And I know Jesus would be attending that pride parade.
With
pride. And I also know that God is love. And Jesus is love.
Yeah.
And love is love. And for a Catholic bishop to come out and say something like that, given the history of pedophilia in the Catholic Church, given what the Catholic Church has hidden about the abuse of children... Some would say that being at a pride parade would be much safer for a child than it has been to be in a Catholic church for many years.
So, we're not done yet. Hang in there with me. We got to get this over.
Can I say that?
Notice this. Stop a minute. Notice this. We have a black woman We have a Hispanic woman. She's coming up. We have Sunny, whatever the heck she is. We have this other one we don't get to. See, this is diversity and tolerance. This is the breadbasket of America they're trying to give us here. Wait to hear the next one. Wait to hear the next Hispanic woman give us her opinion. Go ahead.
As a practicing Catholic, I have been challenged by the scandals.
Yes.
In the Catholic Church. And Whoopi and I have talked about it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah,
I almost left the Catholic Church because of what
There was another tweet that got a reaction out of me. That went too. But one, you know, this year, actually, Donald Trump, President Loco, decided he was going to mark Pride Month. And let me tell you, just a few weeks ago, he banned patriotic trans Americans from serving in the armed services.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
His administration has rolled back LGBTQ protections in schools.
Mm-hmm.
There is discrimination going on against parents.
Yes.
These are demons. These are demons. These people are so wicked.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I don't know. Are you, you're going to play the rest of that, I guess? Is that what you're going to do?
Go ahead, Paul.
I just want to say it really makes you clear and understand why these people hate Russia so much. You know, Russia has strong anti-gay laws.
Yes, they do.
And they have become more Christian than we have. And it makes you really understand why they hate Russia so much.
So here's what we better understand. Here's what President Donald Trump better understand. These girls right here, they ain't never voting for him. They ain't never voting for him. But he's saddling right upside them with his homo views. He could be sitting right there in the middle of the view. He could be sitting right there with them with his homo position. Keep going, Jared.
Who use surrogate parents that are foreigners.
Yes. Yes.
There is all sorts of discrimination. So don't tweet something out on June 1st and say you are with Pride Month. You are the president of the United States. You can do something about it every single day.
Yes.
Stop banning those trans Americans that are willing to do what you were too much of a coward to do.
Unbelievable. Get that off the board. That's spit. Get it off. See, folks, this is what we're dealing with. Everything that we can do to tear down every institution, that is the march through the institution that the communists began back shortly after our boys came home from Normandy Beach. Somebody come on in here.
Yeah, I want to jump in here on that. Hey, I was in the gym the other day when that was playing, and the first thing in my mind is I don't need any Democrat telling me about Jesus when their entire platform is based on the death of 61 million babies and mass homosexual butt sex as human evolution, using 1997 WWJD slogans.
Yeah, you know? Well, Bobby.
Amen, Bobby Lee.
Are we ever allowed as Christians? Are we ever? We had a war on drugs. We had a war on smoking. We had a war on pornography. Are we ever allowed to declare war on homosexuality? Are we allowed to do that? Would that be a Christian thing to do or not? Because these people, folks, I said yesterday, this is the most powerful lobby in America, right next to the Jewish lobby, the Israel lobby. This is the most powerful lobby in all of America. They have Christians running for cover. They have Christians worried. We have right now American pastors begging Congress to do a pastor protection act because they're scared to death of the queers.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You notice in several of the folks that we've seen their opinions and views on the last few clips have said that, you know, nobody can say what your relationship with God is. Nobody can do that. Only you and God know. You know what? That is a big lie. Jesus didn't keep that. He didn't stop from revealing that. He walked up to religious leaders and said, "You are of your father, Satan." And the Bible instructs us to learn to discern good from evil. It instructs us to treat our brothers differently than we treat people in the world.
So
if we are able to determine who our brothers are, then we're floundering. We have no way of being obedient, being good Christians, if we can't determine who our brothers are and who our brothers are not.
Well, Larry, funny would say that. Yeah, Jared, while Roger's coming in, Jared, pull up. It says pink, unequally yoked. Go ahead, Rog.
Real quick, the sheer numbers of homosexuality does not support their influence. So there has to be demonic or evil activity going on. The worldwide numbers of homosexuality are worse than they thought. It's less than 2%. So there has to be something more, because no organization with such small numbers has such great influence.
No, Roger, they've done a wonderful job. Mike Heath can speak to this, I'm sure, as well, to the playing the victim card. We now, every one of us, feel sorry for homosexuals, right? We feel sorry for them.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, they've also made good alliances with other organizations that are anti-Christian as well.
They have.
Yes. So yes. That's where a lot of it is. They have a lot of alliances, and you know, sometimes they're making alliances with groups that you wouldn't think would be a part of something like that. But because they all hate Christ,
the enemy,
that's the driving force.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I have on the screen right now, this came, I can't remember who sent it to me. Thank you for doing it. This is from A.W. Pink. And it was the Lord's command to be ye not unequally yoked together. Does anybody know where that is in the scripture? Maybe somebody can dig that for me. That's probably a scripture we ought to go read. But folks, this is a command. Think about our churches and what we're bringing into our churches and the powerlessness of the churches. When the Lord said, be not ye not unequally yoked. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't let one guy in our football huddle if he didn't think we could win. Not one guy. Not one guy. I didn't let one guy in that huddle if he was playing just for himself. Not one guy got in there. And if a guy got into our huddle who was unequally yoked, we got him out because he would eventually betray us. So A.W. Pink said this: we are fully persuaded that it is disregard of this commandment, for command it is, which is largely responsible for the low state which now obtains so generally amongst Christians, both individually and corporately. A.W. Pink says it's being unequally yoked in our churches that's draining our energy. No wonder the spiritual pulse of many churches beats so feebly. No wonder their prayer meetings are so thinly attended. No wonder their Christians who are unequally yoked, Jared moved on. Christians who are unequally yoked have no heart for prayer. Disobedience at this point is a certain preventative to real and wholehearted devotion to Christ. No one can be an unshackled follower of the Lord Jesus who is in any way yoked to Jesus' enemies. Jesus has enemies? He may be a truly saved person, but the testimony of his life and the witness of his walk will not honor and glorify Christ. You get what he says there? You can be born again, but if your walk don't match your salvation, baby, you ain't saved and you ain't glorifying the Lord. And so in our desire to love everybody, oh boy, I keep getting on that theme, don't I? Does Jesus have enemies? Unequally yoked. Hey, you don't even know most of the people in your church. Not really. You don't even know them. You go to one of those big mega churches, that big mega church George you used to go to, you know everybody in there? Are there homos in there? Are there child molesters and porn watchers in there? Are you going to walk in there and you're going to be yoked together with them? You're going to get in that huddle with them and you're going to expect the strength and the power of God to fall in a mess like that?
Nope.
Dave, there is no, when you go to a church that has 1,000 people or 1,500 or even 500, the chance of deep relationship building is limited completely. Don't let anybody misguide you. Now, what their argument always is, well, you need to then get into a small group on Thursday night. Right. Okay, so you get into a small group and you know eight people a little bit better. It's terrible.
It is. They want anonymity. People go to big churches because they want to be anonymous. They want to come in. They want to eat, meet, greet, and then retreat. They do not want personal relationships. Most now, this is a generality. They don't want personal relationships with other Christians because that brings accountability. They don't want it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 6:14. And speaking to all those faggots out there, and I'm not talking about cigarettes. Those guys have done a masterful job of pleading. Actually, they're using tequila. They're lying to us. They're lying to us, and then our compassion is betraying our faith to God.
Amen. 2 Corinthians, Vic just gave it to us, 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Homosexuality. What agreement hath the temple of God? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Does that mean he won't receive you if you do touch the unclean thing? And this stuff has infiltrated our churches. Hey, the churches agree with those on The View. You want my honest opinion? Couple minutes left here. Somebody save me.
I'm gonna tell you one thing, Coach. I tweeted at my congressman, and I told him that I wasn't gonna vote for him because he voted. He's one of the eight that stepped over and voted for H.R. 5. And I told him, man, you're a disgrace, bro. You say that you're a family man, and you have all these high morals. I don't see it. I ain't voting for you. Will Heard.
Amen. 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 It's serious stuff. I want to tip my cap right now to Mike and Polly Heath and Paul Madore and those who are re-engaging in Maine, calling sin, sin, calling homo, homo, calling baby killers, baby killers. Where did we get the idea that we had to shut our mouths to allow others to blow theirs?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm coming in late, but when did rebuking become rebuked? That's the question. I heard Mike Heath's show the other day too. It was fantastic.
When did rebuking become rebuked? When did it? Well, it came when we flipped the commandments and we started loving people more than we love God. Hey, folks, listen. I'm going to tell you something. God hates homosexuality. He doesn't hate homos, but he hates homosexuality. Bible calls it workers of iniquity. God hates all workers of iniquity. You understand that Whoopi Goldberg is a worker of iniquity? She just doesn't support it. She gets on TV and she endorses it. She is a worker of iniquity. I'm going to tell you this. She's an enemy of the cross. Whoopi Goldberg is an enemy of the cross. Homosexual acts are an enemy of the cross. Why can't we get this out straight? Why can't we understand it? And until we move past the idea of individual salvation, which I'm all for individual salvation, Right Wing Watch, they wrote something about me yesterday because I said, I hope Hillary rots in jail and gets saved. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. It's about salvation. It's about the next life. It's not about this one. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What a time to be alive. All hands on deck. Got plenty of room for you. Come and join us. Equal Justice Tour on Facebook. Google it, share it, move it, make it happen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.